Evening, gentlemen, and there are a few ladies in the room. I'll make reference to that in my contribution to this evening's discussion. I am in a very privileged position of chairing Crossrail, and indeed my chief executive is here this evening as well. And there's no doubt at Crossrail we feel very much part of the critical importance today that's been put on infrastructure and indeed the responsibilities that go with it. Andrew talked a little bit about history. Well, 7 years ago, Andrew actually put the first pilings into Canary Wharf, which was the start of physically putting value into the ground, which became Crossrail. And indeed, at the same time, we were working with Treasury to actually obtain approval. Not approval in the sense that the funding had been made available, but also approval that we were competent to manage a project like this. And I have to say that the governance arrangements around a program like Crossrail are, in the detail, quite substantially different to perhaps what might be imagined. Yes, we do spend public sector funding. We do get a contribution from both Londoners and indeed businesses in London. But we did go through the MPRG process as it was then. And we made it work for us, to be frank, in that we didn't. It would have been easy to try and sell. We really are ready. We're keen to get going. But we worked really hard at making sure that we were competent, that we had the capability to demonstrate that we have both the people and the systems that would enable us to discharge this project. Why? Well, the project is funded at 14.8 billion. It doesn't happen to include the rolling stock, which is another billion on top of that. And I am pleased to say that we remain confident that we can deliver on time in 2018, which was always the plan. And that secondly, in spite of the ambitions of Andrew, we're confident that we will deliver it inside the funding that's been made available. And I think it's really critical on a project like this that we do ensure that we have the capability, and indeed in our governance, the way this has been set up, we use best practice in terms of private sector, understand the importance that we are using public sector funding, but at the same time are held accountable for delivering the program. I think it was in 2013 John Armitt spoke to an audience like this and talked about the importance of not treating infrastructure as a political football. And I can tell you with absolute confidence that on a project like Crossrail, it's been apolitical. It's been supported by all individuals that have been engaged with the program. And I think it's really to everybody's credit. And in governance terms, we have the authority to make all the key decisions. But at the same time, of course, there is the bigger picture that needs to be taken account of in a big project like Crossrail. I was asked to talk about some very specific areas of why I think infrastructure investment is so important. On a project like Crossrail, we in Crossrail have always said, important though it is, it's more than a railway. Railways have always brought regeneration with it. And indeed, the Crossrail story has continued with that level of recognition. We are in existence because London is due to grow by another 1.5 million people by 2030. We'll add more than 10% capacity to transport in London in the public sector, and it's desperately needed, as many of you will know today when you travel on the very various modes of transport that are around London specifically. Reference was made to the fact that we undertook a skills review. Government have made a commitment to 3 million apprentices by 2020. To put that into context, that means every school leaver between now and 2020 becomes an apprentice. Very, very unlikely to happen. But it actually does bring about the fact that there is a recognition, increasing recognition, that if this economy is to grow, we do need skills that match the needs of the economy. In transport, we undertook a review and identified that we could achieve 30,000 apprentices. That's five times more than is currently the case by 2020. And in that regard, we also set some very clear objectives inside that 30,000 number. And some of that is actually taking the learning. And I think that's the importance of the NIC, that it acts as a conduit in terms of prioritizing projects, ensures that we can take the learning from program to program. And for example, Tony made the reference to productivity. Well, I'm in no doubt that part of the productivity problem is that we keep stopping and starting. We start, and I can tell you Crossrail is a phenomenal program. The skills that we've developed are second to none. The importance of having confidence that those skills go on to the next infrastructure project, I am sure, will help with the productivity gains that are so essential in terms of this type of investment. As an example of that, at Crossrail, we had a determination to use our procurement power to actually make a difference. So if you wanted a contract with Crossrail, you had to commit not only to deliver within the time and the cost that we'd identified as committed, but also that you would actually employ an apprentice for every £3 million worth of contract value, or that you indeed would employ somebody who was currently unemployed. We built a skills academy in East London. We set a goal of having 400 apprentices by 2018. Today, we have 550 apprentices. So we smashed our objective that we set 6-7 years ago. And why? Well, it took a while to actually get everybody engaged with the opportunities that exist. It's a fact our best contractors do their investment in their people most naturally. Why was it important to Crossrail? Well, as an example, we identified it, we needed about 1,200 people with a certain skill set to work on underground construction. We estimated out of that 1,200, 700 resided in the UK. So even if we were able to capture, which we weren't, every resource who had that skill, we were certainly significantly short. I also have said many times, we don't have a skill shortage. A skill shortage will always get sorted out by the market, and indeed one of the solutions has been to use immigration as a means of actually filling the gap. The more compelling point of this as well was that the average age, dominated by male, average age 55. In a sector that we're getting very excited about in terms of investment and the future that the NIC can prioritize for us. So for me, we had to do something, hence using our procurement power. And indeed, it has been agreed in Transport, Network Rail, Highways England, HS2, DFT, Crossrail have done it, but will continue, Transport for London. We've all committed to use our procurement power to actually prioritize the skills agenda to support the 30,000 that we've set ourselves a goal on. We also set ourselves a target in terms of the strategy to have 20% of our intake by 2020 to be female. I have to say on Crossrail, I feel as though we've understated the ambitions that can be achieved. It's been a relentless campaign for us to achieve that skills agenda. And I'd say in the past 12 months, 27% of our apprentices have been female. It's against a national average of about 6 or 7%. So it can be done, but it has to be done relentlessly. One of the other things that, again, supports an apolitical and why politicians should and do like infrastructure projects, nationally on apprenticeship programs, 1 in 5 of apprentices come from a NEETS background, not in employment, education, or training. On Crossrail, 40% of our apprentices were NEETs. So again, big infrastructure project delivering big value for the economy, but also having big social impacts across our nation. It's also true to say that there's often been a debate about why London? Why does London always get priority in terms of infrastructure investment? And part of the reason is because London's actually paying for quite a significant proportion of Crossrail. But it's also true to say that the benefits of infrastructure investment is spread around the UK economy. 95% of what we've spent has been spent in the UK economy. 60% of our spend has been with SMEs. 60% of our spend has actually been outside London and the South East. So it does benefit the whole of the UK economy. I do appreciate that there will be pressure to actually bear about infrastructure projects, just like HS2, that will actually ensure that that benefit is spread even more around the UK economy. The skills agenda is very real. We have to influence young people in terms of choices of career. And again, part of our recommendation is that we need to be much more thoughtful about how better we can create a situation where parental guidance, prejudices, if you like, schools' views about destination measures, about what proportion of the students go to university. I want to see a measure that actually just not only talks about universities, but what proportion of the student actually go into worthwhile careers that definitely includes an apprenticeship program. It is changing. People come onto the Crossrail program because not only is it a great project, it creates real satisfaction, enhances career prospects, and gives people a pride in actually creating something that is significantly different. And I have to tell you that the number of visitors we get to Crossrail is every day. It feels as though we've got somebody coming in from overseas to look at a world-class project. And when they see it, they just expect that we will be not only developing more schemes around the UK, but also enhancing our export capability. We've lost, in some respects, skills that we used to have about, if you go to Hong Kong, for example, many people would say that the Hong Kong system was actually built by British engineers. The only thing that major that we bought on Crossrail that wasn't UK manufacturer was a tunnel boring machine. They came from Germany. We don't have any capability to build machines of that type. And I well remember the chief exec and I were in Germany, and they're called Heron Connect, and Mr. Heron owns the business. He's 70. He set up the business 50 years ago, dominates a village, 2,500 people employed, 500 apprentices inside the establishment. There you've got a real example of engagement between state and local enterprise. But one of the things that he said was how grateful he was to have the London contract. Now, you're reckoning with people, so you should be. It's almost £100 million worth of contract. But he said, no, let me explain to you why it's so important. He said, because I know I build the best tunnel boring machines in the world, and they are very good. But he said, I can only prove that if the machines are actually stretched to their capability, which means you need the very best engineers. And he said, be in no doubt, as far as I'm concerned, the very best engineers in my working career have always been British. The problem you have in UK at the moment is you're not developing the engineers. So it's a commercial disadvantage for me that I can't actually exploit the capability of my machines. And it's a real good example for me about what we will do with Crossrail. As I said, we have 550 apprentices, many of them who've learned how to do tunnelling in a way that would have been quite unthinkable for people in their 20s to be given the opportunity to do right now. So for me, there's a bigger picture. Not only are we seeing the infrastructure improvements in the UK economy, but secondly, it does create new opportunities to export that capability around the world. And I am optimistic that the lessons around skills are being learnt. There are, for example, a number of big, Andrew mentioned HS2. In 2 weeks' time, we start the build of two national colleges for high-speed two technology, one in Birmingham and one in Doncaster, even before we actually start putting value in the ground for HS2. What a difference. We're actually starting to get proactive and start to build the capability to exploit the technologies and the opportunities for work that we can bring with it. Similar situation exists on new nuclear. There are colleges being built at Bridgewater and in North Wales. Again, the decision to start work on the actual facility itself has not been confirmed, but we are starting to build the capability to develop the skills that will enable us to maximise the opportunity for the UK economy. But everywhere you look on Crossrail, it brings new opportunities. And I use this as an example of why infrastructure is such a broad subject. We moved 7 million tonnes of waste out of London. And one of the things that we did was that we recognised that, and again, this was at the time of the Olympics, moving that sort of material by road was reputationally very difficult, and secondly, would have created probably gridlock around certain parts of London. We have not, because a lot of the materials were moved by rail and then shipped to a location just east of Southend, a place called Wallasey. We had an MOU with the Royal Society of Protection of Birds, and we built a wet bird reserve, the largest in Europe. It's now open. But it's an example of sometimes you have to broaden your mind. It's now a tourist centre for people who are interested in bird watching. Who could have imagined that those would be the benefits, that it would help tourism as a consequence of investment in infrastructure? And the story goes on. Just last Sunday, you may or may not have seen, there was a TV programme on archaeology. Well, we've enhanced the knowledge about the history of London, but back to Roman times, and in more recent times as well. So there's a whole history of things that comes with that level of investment. My wish, and that's why I think the NIC is so important under Andrew's leadership, is that it remains apolitical, that it does give a program of confidence that we can and should invest in infrastructure. The question of priorities will be undoubtedly critical. It will enable, I hope, the learning from project to be captured and to make sure that best practice continues to be applied on the new projects that are coming forward. It's something that we are really proud of what we've achieved. Innovation is very much part and parcel of the benefits that come with continued investment in this type of investment. And I am extremely confident that if the investment can continue and we can continue to talk about projects like Crossrail being on time and within its funding, we will not create any excuses for politicians to decide that there are higher priorities elsewhere in the economy. Thank you.